We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mountain West Insider Podcast here on the Field of 68 Media Network. Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me. You are going to hear later from Jamal Mashburn Jr., who is one of the most entertaining and enlightening interviews that I've done since getting into the Field of 68. He's a joy to talk to. I hope he's a joy to listen to. And I think you guys are really going to like the conversation. I really like talking to him, Jeff.
I mean, Rob, first of all, anybody that can carry you in a car, it's not easy. Let's face it. It is not easy. So I know he's got to be a true adult to be able to carry on a lengthy conversation with you. Give Mash credit. And obviously it comes from great bloodlines. But we talked to him at the preseason, the media day. He was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Remember him in who was a Baker? They were both terrific.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, I may or may not have told him that when the ball stops bouncing for him, if he decides he doesn't want to go into politics, which he mentioned, like, I don't know why you want to go into politics in 2024. I told him that he has a job at the Field of 68. So we might be hiring Mitty Mash here in a couple, probably in like 10 years.
Listen, he can replace you. For a while.
Huh?
He can replace you. I'm good with that. I'm good with that trade.
Yeah, we'll put him on the Mountain West Insider Podcast. He'd probably be a little better than me. Let's just kind of go over what's happening in this league right now, because, Jeff, it has not gotten any less ridiculous. Utah State is in first place at 9-3. There are four teams, San Diego State, New Mexico, Boise State, and UNLV, that are all a game out of first place in the loss column. Colorado State, 7-5, two games out of first place. Nevada, 6-5, two games out of first place in the loss column. Nevada is currently in seventh place in the conference and in line to get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. This league it's just a bear, man. It's ridiculous. What is happening in the Mountain West?
It's, to me, honestly, I know the Big 12 is the best conference in America. Okay, I get that. Nobody's going to really dispute that from top to bottom. I think the Mountain West is the most fun conference in America this year. And everybody now, I think, has understood how good it is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Listen, it's not even a conversation right now between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, or what's the best league on the West Coast, including the WCC. It's not even a conversation worth having anymore. But the difference now is, like, some of these other leagues, they've kind of come down to like two horse races for the most part. Look at Big East with UConn and Marquette, ACC, kind of, you know, Duke and Carolina probably going to, you know, emerge here and distance themselves. SEC is fun, but Mountain West to me is the most fun league in America. And listen, that's why I'm.
It's a seven horse race, Goodman. It's a seven horse race for the championship. It's awesome. The freaking Kentucky Derby over here.
And the fact that, again, you've got six of those seven teams that are as of today likely to get in the NCAA tournament. It is awesome.
I mean, I've decided what I'm rooting for in the Mountain West Conference tournament. There's only one thing that I think needs to happen. I think everybody listening to this should want it. And I hope that college basketball fans at large appreciate what I'm about to say. Okay. Utah State probably getting an at large. San Diego State probably getting an at large. New Mexico is like an 8 seed right now. And that's before winning at Nevada on Tuesday. Colorado State, they're getting in the tournament. Nevada is probably the one that's closest to the cut line right now, but like they are probably going to end up getting into the tournament. Let's get UNLV winning the automatic bid, running the table at home in Las Vegas in the Mountain West Conference tournament in the Thomas and Mack Center, and let's get a 7 bid Mountain West. Who wants six bigs to a tournament? Let's get a 7 bid Mountain West. Why are we capping it at 6, Jeff?
That, Rob. Rob, the other thing I'll say to that is, how exciting would it be to watch Dinan Thomas in the NCAA tournament? Because he's that guy. Like, there aren't many guys that I would pay to watch play anymore. He's one of those guys that you're like, he is so exciting to watch with the way he plays and the way he can take over a game that, honestly, I think the nation, if they got a chance to watch him in a, let's say they do make it in the automatic berth and they get like a 13 seed and they have to play, I don't know, who's a 4 right now? Duke, UNLV, right? Duke, UNLV. And you watch Dinan Thomas potentially run circles around Duke's guards. People will be like, who is this kid?
So you're saying that Dinan Thomas is going to pull a Greg Anthony and knock off Duke in the NCAA tournament? The 33rd anniversary of Duke winning the national championship in 1991? Yeah, I would pay to see that. So, listen, we're going to get here to Mitty Mash now, to Jamal Mashburn Jr. Like I said, it's a fun interview, an enlightening interview, and I really appreciate how
– You're not going to tease where I'm going next week?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Where are you going? Talk to the people. Let them know. Go ahead.
This is the trip I've been waiting for all year, and you were just going to
– I'm so glad it's happening because I'm so tired of you talking about it.
Like, I have literally had this trip scheduled for 6 weeks now. All right? Since I was in Charleston, I'm back in Boston. I want to get the hell out of Boston. And next week, I'm going out, and I'm flying out. We're going to Alabama-Auburn this weekend. And then from there, I'm flying to Salt Lake City. And from there, I'm going to Logan, Utah, where I've never been. I guess I'm heading up north an hour or so from Salt Lake to Logan. And I'm going to catch San Diego State against Utah State at the Spectrum. Never been before. So excited to go. And then the next day, Rob, I'm going to take a flight over, and I'm going to see Colorado State at New Mexico at the Pit. Another place I have never been. Honestly, these are two of the places that I've wanted to go for so long. They're bucket list places for anybody that's covered the sport as long as I have. And I get to see four of the top teams in the country in two of the top venues. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And you're going to see probably the two best positional matchups that you can see in the Mountain West this year. Great Osabur against Jaden Ledee and Donovan Dent against Isaiah Stevens. So enjoy that trip. It's going
to
be fun.
And if wait, before we wrap this and go to Mini Mesh, if anybody has any suggestions for good spots to eat, because I know like Richard Pitino, he's got horrible taste in food. So whatever he says, I'm not going to listen to. Danny Sprinkle's only been there for a hot minute, so I'm not listening to him either. So the people that know, please, please give me, tweet at me any suggestions you have for spots I need to go while I'm in both places.
Well, one, don't eat where T.O. ate before he called the New Mexico game, which turned his lower intestinal tract into a war zone. That's a quote from him. Don't eat there. And when I was at the last time I was at Utah State, Wild Bill took us out to a diner to get ice cream sundaes afterwards. And you don't need any more ice cream sundaes. You need to find the best salad spot that they have in Logan, Utah. All right. Without further ado, let's get into this interview. Jamal Mashburn Jr., Mitty Mash.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now let me welcome onto the Mountain West Insider Podcast, the man of the hour who hit the two biggest shots of the game as New Mexico went on the road and picked off Nevada to stay a game out of first place in the Mountain West standings. It is Jamal Mashburn Jr., fresh off a 17-point performance. You're currently in a hotel ballroom in Mission Viejo, California, getting ready for San Diego State on the road.
Yes, sir. Getting ready to get going.
So what does that say about the Mountain West where you're off of a road game at Nevada? You don't even go back to Albuquerque. You get right back on the plane and you head straight to San Diego State before you have to go play Colorado State at home next week. This is this conference, man. It's just it's a bulldozer.
I love it, man. It's primetime basketball. I mean, I always tell people, man, it's like, you know, when you got these stretch of games and they're meaningful and they're important and you get immersed and real present in the moment in these games, it's the best. It's the best feeling, and especially coming out with those wins and, you know, with the guys that, you know, I'm fighting a battle with. It's just great.
So you were banged up a little bit earlier on this season, and Jalen was banged up a little bit earlier on this season, and it feels like it took a while for you guys to finally kind of get to the point where not just you were at 100%, but everybody was at 100%. Do you feel like you guys are starting to really kind of click into gear here?
Definitely. I think we are. I think coming at the right time, too. I mean, this is the perfect time to make a push in this February stage, just so, you know, March is able to, you know, kind of take care of itself. And we put ourselves in the best position as possible. But yeah, I mean, we were banged up. I mean, me for sure. You know, I was dealing with some thumb ligament issues and I'm still dealing with it to this day. So I'm just blessed to be out there playing and just, you know, playing at a high level and, you know, out there, you know, being myself. So I think we're making right strides. I think we just got to continue to, you know, make defense a priority and make, you know, being together a priority and it will be just fine.
How did you injure it? And what is it kind of doing now to your shot, to your ball handling ability? Like, how does it impact the way that you play?
I would say, so how I got the injury, I tried to do something that was out of my element. I tried to block some shots. I'm not really a shot blocker, but I tried to block some shots. I hit my thumb at a very weird angle on the backboard, and it just went backwards and extended all the way back. And, you know, I did some ligament damage, and I tried to play with it wrapped, and that didn't feel right. And the swelling was still there. The pain and the aching was still there. So you know, I still do treatment to it to this day. And then, you know, probably after the season, I'll, you know, reevaluate it, help it get rest and stuff like that. But, you know, as of right now, it has its days. Some days are better than others. But I mean, I'm optimal. I'm here to, you know, win us a Mountain West championship and make an NCAA tournament appearance. So
my junior year in college, we were doing a drill where you would throw a ball off the backboard. It was like a fast break drill, but what you had to do was you had to throw it off the backboard and the other guy had to come in and catch it and lay it in. In my brilliance, I went up and I tried to just catch it off the backboard and dunk it. And I couldn't do that. So I kind of got hung on the rim and I was going so fast that my body swung and I landed and I did the same thing to my thumb, my junior year in college. And I didn't have the heart to tell anyone that I hurt myself trying to dunk a ball that I had no physical ability to actually be able to dunk. So I kind of had to deal with that the whole year. So I feel your pain, man. In all seriousness though, like that's a difficult thing for someone that's a shooter, someone that is going to be able to handle the ball as much as you do? How does it impact the day-to-day and the game-to-game part of what you do?
It impacts it a little bit. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, some days are better than others, and I'm also very conscious of it just because it happened. And I've also never been a player who's been out for an injury, like in my career. I'm like dating all the way back to high school, middle school. I've always been optimal, ready to play 100%. You know, I know we have little knick-knacking injuries here and there, but this is my first time really dealing with an injury where I had to sit out multiple games. So that was just a new experience for me. And, you know, like I said, this day, it's just day by day. I mean, it's just some days are better than us. Some, I took a bad fall last game, and, you know, that kind of, you know, hurts a little bit, but it gets better every day. It's just something I got to continue to deal with for right now. So.
Yeah, it's called college basketball, man. It's not the easiest sport in the world to play. I do want to ask you, though. I know it hasn't been the easiest stretch of the season for you. You came through last night and you hit two big shots, and that was not necessarily the case in some of the other moments where you needed to make a big shot. How good did it feel not just to knock down that first one and then knock down the second one to get your team a win on the road against someone that you're battling for, quite literally, the Mountain West Championship with?
Yeah, it felt good. I mean, it felt good. I mean, I put in a lot of work. I mean, despite, you know, the year that I feel like I'm having, I mean, I know the kind of player and caliber player that I am, just based on my track record, based on what I've done previously, based on my work ethic and all that. So, but yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough on my mental. It's been tough just overall. And I think it's happened for a reason. It's happened to make me better. And, you know, I'm just, it was good just because, and also we've never really beaten them at their place before. And, you know, I think that was the first time we did that in about a decade with UNM, you know, history. So I'm just happy we were able to sweep them. And they're a team that I do not like playing. And they're a team that is just, you know, they get under my skin, and I'm glad we beat them. So.
Do you feel it? Like with all the noise from the outside, I know what people always say, you got to block out social media, you got to block out the Instagram comments, you got to block out what people say on Twitter. But do you hear that? Do you feel that in the moment when you're kind of going through a bad spell?
You know, I'm going to give the vulnerable answer and the, you know, the truth. Yeah, I mean, I do. It's hard, especially growing up how we grew up, mm-hmm. with all these phones and social media, man. It's everywhere. I mean, it's just how we operate, you know, nowadays. So, but you just gotta have a tough skin, just real tough skin. And, you know, sometimes it gets to you, but, sometimes it's there for motivation. Sometimes you just don't even pay attention to it. And usually I don't pay attention to it, but this has just been such a new, you know, a changing year for me and a growth year for me that, it's just been, it's been harder than the rest. So, I hear it. And I also know that it's sports and it's also life. You know, people are going to root for you. People are going to, you know, not root for you. And, you know, that's just the case. You just got to keep believing in yourself, believing in God, and, everything else will take care of itself as long as you put the right foot forward.
Yeah. The hard part is when you're playing well and when your confidence is rolling, you know, when you're playing as the what do they call you? Mitty Mash. Is that right?
Mitty Mash.
Yeah. When Mitty Mash is hitting all these 17 footers, right? Mm-hmm. Then it kind of is what it is. But when you're struggling and you're trying to find that rhythm and you're trying to get, like, life is confidence, not just sports, life is confidence. And when you're trying to gain that back and you go and check Instagram and there's a bunch of people like just saying like, get them out of the starting lineup or whatever it is. I'm glad that you were able to knock those shots down and kind of quiet them for a little while.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I was talking with Steve Kirkland, your SID, before you got on here, and he was telling me about you're a big journaler. Is that right?
Yeah, I am. I am. I journal pretty much every day.
Why is that? How does it help you?
Mainly for me, it's a place that I can organize my thoughts. And organize just my emotions and my feelings and kind of, you know, push my brain and push what I want in my life and make it become a reality. You know, I use journaling as a tool for therapy. I use journaling as a tool just for fun. I use journaling when I'm feeling bad, good, you know, mediocre, whatever the case may be. Just because it's just, I feel like it's my foundation. It's my foundation of what has made me, you know, who I am today. And I give that to my dad too. He's a big journaler too. So he does that as well. So man, it just helps, man. It helps in a lot of areas, man. And just, it keeps your mind clear, you know, if I'm, you know, because like I said, I do it if I'm feeling bad, good, or in between. So it's just engraved in my life, and it helps me. I goal set and, you know, all that stuff. So it helps in so many ways.
Are you writing everything out by hand? Are you journaling in the notes app on your phone? Are you,
I do it the old school way, huh? Old school. Pen and paper. Yeah. Pencil and paper.
The least surprising thing in the world to me is that you do something in an old school way.
Yeah. I keep it simple. I like to keep it simple. Sometimes stuff new times nowadays is just sometimes too
complicated. Mm-hmm. You mentioned your dad, so I figure I might as well ask about it now. How did he influence the way that you play basketball? Not just the thing you mentioned, he's a journaler as well. How does he impact the way that you play and how you approach the game?
Oh man, I can have a 2-hour answer with this one, but like he's built my game, man. He's like, I remember when I was a kid and I wanted to, I know I had the, you know, dream of playing basketball because I was first originally a lacrosse and football player. You know, my dad kind of just let me choose my own thing, choose my own route. And man, son, whatever you want to do, let me know and I'll help you for moving forward. But, you know, when I was 9 and 10 years old, you know, I really picked up basketball. You know, I played with my friends and stuff like that. And I told him, man, I want to do this for real. Like, I want you to help me. And I know you can help me. And I'm 9, 10 years old asking this, like, man, please help me. Like, I want to be better. You know, I want to be the best version of myself that I can be in this sport. And he was like, okay. You know, give me your sweat, tears, give me all your hard work, give me your dedication, and I'll make you the player you want to be. So, man, he started me off in that mid-range area. Like, he just, you know, I wasn't allowed because as a kid, you know, kids shoot from their chin, and I was never allowed to do that. Like, I was like,
listen, Jamal, I might go get my son right now. I just coached him at practice today, and I had to yell at him because he kept shooting from too far out. It's like, take a dribble in. Shoot, man. Where you can actually reach it from. We're not throwing a baseball pass to try to make a three-pointer right now. What are
right.
we doing?
No, right. Like, I was like, man, I wasn't allowed to shoot a three for like 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Until, you know, I was always in the mid-range area. So that's why that area is also so comfortable for me right now. So it's like, I always had to keep it up and keep my shoulder strong. So, man, we would rep stuff out. We would watch film. And sometimes I'd be like, damn, like, I don't want to watch film right now. I want to go watch SpongeBob and cartoons. And you know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, dad, why are we reviewing the game right now? Like, but that kind of made me who I am nowadays. Cause I'm real meticulous about my game and, you know, how I'm, you know, what I'm doing, what movements, how stuff feels, how moves feel. And he was the same way in his career. You know, he averaged 20 points a game for his career, his total 12-year career. And, you know, he's a bucket and, you know, I give credit all that to him. So, you know, he's done everything like, and he's continuing to do stuff, but he's done everything for me in this game. Like I give it all to him,
I find it very interesting that, that you ended up playing for Coach Pitino and also Jalen as well, given that all three of you guys are sons of people that have been in this business and reached like ridiculous, unexpected levels of success in the sport that their sons are now playing in. Do you guys ever talk about that? Is that something that comes up, or is it just, you know, that's Coach Pitino, that's our guy?
Honestly, we don't talk about it at all. I mean, maybe our first year a little bit, just because, you know, that was the main thing that was talked about at the time, because when we first got here, me and House, we weren't that great. We weren't good. I think we were like 245 in the net, and like we weren't great. So there was nothing really to talk about besides just that story and just that. So,
do you guys win too much for us to ask those questions about your dad now? Is that what it is?
Nah. I mean, I love talking about it. I can talk about my dad forever, man. It's just that's my guy, man. But nah, I mean, we don't talk about that much. I mean, that's Coach Pitino, man. That's our guy, and we're gonna go out there and win games and do it together.
So the guards you guys have, you, Jalen, Donovan, is I think as good of a trio as you will find anywhere in the country, right? How do you guys feel like you stack up around the country?
Man, we feel like we're the best. I mean, we feel like, you know, we feel like we can really compete with anybody. And like, you know, I know everybody talks about, you know, small guard lineup and stuff like that. And, and are they pests on the ball? Can they defend? Do they rebound and stuff like that? And I mean, we do. We're winning games, and I think we do. I think we can stack up with anybody. I really truly do feel that way because we all put in the work. We all believe in each other, and we all like each other. Like, that's the thing. Like, people don't understand. Like, we all really like each other, and that's what makes us also play well. And, you know, because certain dudes, you can have two very talented players or three very talented players that just don't really gel chemistry-wise. But that's not the case with us. I mean, Donovan, go eat. Like, go ahead. Go to the basket. Jalen, do your thing. Me, do my thing. And everybody's cool with that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I did want to ask you about Donovan because I think nationally, we kind of knew the name. And we saw some of the stuff he did as a freshman. And everyone was like, well, this is someone to kind of keep in the back of your mind. It's got a chance to be pretty good. Did you guys see this coming from him? Did you guys see, you know, all conference level point guard? Did you see this kind of a player this season in the offseason?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I remember right after his freshman season, I'm like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be on all conference team next year. Like, there's no reason. Like there's no reason why you shouldn't be there and why you shouldn't, you know, take advantage of the opportunity that's given in front of you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Coach P has, you know, put the ball in his hands more. And, you know, he's done really well. And he's really, you know, he's real skilled, man. We're making layups, you know, finding guys in the lane and stuff like that. You know, he's very talented. So he's doing good. He's going to be very special here years to come.
Yeah, my guy Terrence Oglesby, he did a game of yours. I can't remember which game he called. I think it might have been Utah State in the pit. He's done a whole bunch of Mountain West games. He compares Donovan to Eric Snow. Are you – you call yourself old school. Is that like, do you know who Eric Snow is? He was Allen Iverson's point guard.
Yeah, no, I know who Eric Snow is. I can see that. I can see that a little bit. I mean, it's just tough to compare his game, honestly. I haven't really thought about that. I mean, that's something that we usually talk about, like who we compare our games to and, like, you know, who we look up to and stuff like that. But Eric Snow, that's an interesting one. I that's an interesting one. I could
see. Who do you compare yourself to?
Oof. Me, I would say right now. Oh. So there's two guys that I really watch and that I really take things from and really, really take things from. Actually, I'm going to say three guys. Damian Lillard is one. Just his shooting ability, the ability to shoot from deep. And Tyrese Maxey's the second one. He's just all around. He's just a dog. He guards the ball. He can shoot. He can drive. He has a good floater, good middle game. And the third one, he's an overseas guy. He plays in Monaco right now. He's Mike James.
Mike James, the pride of Lamar University.
Yeah. He's nice one, man. He's good. I have a EuroLeague pass just to watch his games and just to watch EuroLeague too. I love basketball, man. I watch basketball forever. So those three guys, though, I think those are three guys that I can kind of compare myself to.
Yeah, the Maxey one makes a lot of sense to me just because of the floater game, the mid-range game. Like, that's kind of where his bread and butter. He's shooting. I live outside Philly now, so I watch a lot of Sixers games. My son's favorite player is Tyrese Maxey, but it's the middies, it's the floater. That one makes a lot of sense to me. I want to talk about your season big picture, and then I'll kind of let you get out of here. So last year you guys started 14-0. I believe you climbed into the top 25, and I think it was you and only two other teams that were undefeated heading into the new year. It did not end great. I think you lost 10 of your last 17, and it was not, I'm sure that's not what you had drawn up in the way that you saw the season finishing out. How do you avoid that this year?
I mean, I think the main thing is just us staying completely together. No matter how a game looks, no matter if we're down by 7, no matter if we're down by 2, up by 15, staying completely together and everybody's focused on the win, not touches, not individual success, not individual accolades. Everybody is bought in on what's working to win this game right now. And then we move on and then we figure out, okay, what's working for this game to win right now. And for us all year, it's been on the defensive end. When everybody's connected and talking on that defensive end and we're blocking dudes out, you know, we're pressuring the ball, we're hedging ball screens, You know, our huddles are great. That's when we win games. And, it, you know, the ball is going to go in the basket just because we have, you know, guys that work on their game and guys that are talented. But we got to do those little things, especially in these late February. And when it goes into March, those are the teams that win big. If we're all together and we're guarding and rebounding, there's not much else but a win that can come that way.
Yeah, I think the big thing is always finding a way to avoid letting one loss or one bad result snowball into something bigger, right? And that's why we actually talked about this on After Dark on Saturday night. That was what was so important about your win on last week on, or last night on Tuesday, because the end of your season is ridiculous. Like you're at Nevada, right? Then you got to go at San Diego State. Then you get Colorado State at home. You got Air Force. You're at Boise, Fresno, and then you're at Utah State. Your four toughest road games of the season all come in the last 4 weeks of the season. Like, that's not easy to do. No, would have let a home loss to UNLV, a tough one, turn into something where you end up losing at Nevada, then all of a sudden you're looking at like, this could turn bad on us. But definitely, you didn't. You jumped out to an early lead and you find a way to win a game. Like, that to me right there, that's what you have to be able to do if you're going to be a team that wins things like Mountain West tournaments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And keep stacking, you know, those good days and those good days of practice and good habits, and yeah, stuff works out for you, you know, and that's all in God's hands. So,
all right. Last thing I got for you. It's not a basketball question either. When the ball finally stops bouncing, whether that's after a EuroLeague career, after an NBA career, whatever it ends up being, what is Jamal Mashburn doing in 15 years?
Man, what is Jamal Mashburn doing in 15 years? Be raising my kids. You know, I have started a family by then. And, you know, I'll just be at peace. I'll be at peace. You know, what I'll be doing, I'm interested in so many things right now, so it's hard to put a pinpoint of like what exactly I'll be doing, because my dad's trying to get me into politics and he's trying to get me into that branch of stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to be a governor. I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I know I'm good at speaking and I'm good at that. I don't know if I would want to do that, but I don't know. I just, you know, I want to have a very solid family. I want my kids to be well off. I want my kids to reach their goals and do that. And I want to just have a beautiful wife. And, you know, that I'm good on that.
Here's the best advice I'll give you. Once you start a family, make sure that your dad is close, because there's nothing better than the free babysitting that comes with a grandparent. I'll tell you that, man. Listen, Jamal, you got one hour. Well, if and when you get into politics, you just let me know, because you got my vote, my man. Always appreciate you jumping on. Always appreciate catching up with you. Best of luck the rest of the season, and go rest up, man. You got San Diego State on Friday night. That is not going to be an easy place to play.
I will, for sure, man. Thank you for having me, for sure.